I present to you Senator Dan Quayle, DePauw, 1969. Dan?
Thank you very much, President Rosser, students, faculty, Board of Trustees, parents, friends, and family. It's really a delight to be here, and I don't say that just to be polite. We were in session last night until 11 o'clock. We were in session Wednesday night or Thursday night till 11 o'clock until 5 a.m. the preceding Thursday, and I'm just quite frankly glad to be back home in Indiana and back home to my own alma mater, DePauw University. And Kevin Armstrong, I am just delighted to know that 13 years have passed since I was sitting in that audience, but toppers is still a high priority. It was 13 years ago, and I was sitting right out there. It was sort of a day like this, although I don't believe that we had the breeze. And as I was trying to reflect on what I would say today, I suppose a good starting point would be why did I go to DePauw University? Well, I happen to have a grandfather, a mother, and a father, an uncle, and an aunt that all graduated from DePauw University. So someone could say that being the oldest grandchild of that particular family, that Greencastle, Indiana had a little red mark around it, and I was destined to go to DePauw University. But I look back on those 4 years, as Kevin referred to, looking back on 4 years with a great deal of fondness, rewarding times. Yet I'm sure that many of my colleagues that would have been in the audience there, some of the faculty and administrators and others, would hardly have deemed Dan Quayle's academic career at DePauw University a success. As a matter of fact, much to the chagrin of my parents, that there were other achievements that Dan Quayle achieved. Ted Catula could tell you, he was the golf coach at one time. He's now been promoted, I guess. And he could tell you how we played on the golf course and I was the captain of the golf team, or the former Dean Wright could talk about some contentious debates we had at KTK, or some of my fraternity brothers in Delta Kappa Epsilon could tell you of some of the offices I held in the name of brotherhood. But when you got down to achievements, you had to look elsewhere, and what you really have after 4 years, no matter what you have done, you've got a beginning. And you've got a good beginning. You've got a good foundation. Suppose that when I graduated, they might have said, a foundation for what? A foundation that 13 years later would be in the United States Senate. And there's no doubt that DePauw University gave me a fine foundation, a foundation on preparation for life, on dealing with life. Now let me not be redundant and repeat something that you already know. My friends, life is difficult. Life will be difficult, but it'll also be rewarding and challenging. The ancient religious philosopher Buddha used to preach the truths of life, and the number one truth was life is suffering. But once we accept the fact that life is not going to be a bed of roses, then life isn't going to be difficult. After all, when we assume this, that it's going to be challenging, we can meet those challenges and relish the enjoyment that life truly holds for us. DePauw has prepared us for that. We've learned to deal with our problems of life, and through dealing with the problems of life, we have learned to discipline ourselves. And with discipline, we can solve the problems. But without discipline, we won't even understand the problems. Discipline is the necessity to realize achievement, whether it be in education, in engineering, in music, in politics, or whatever. Achievement in academics require discipline. Winning and preserving the Monon Bell requires discipline. Building the new gymnasium and opening the doors requires discipline. As I try to assess some of the problems that are confronting the Congress and our nation, I wish we had a little bit more discipline. During the past 5 months, we have been arguing and debating the budget. And late last night, the Senate, in my opinion, made a positive resolution to reduce the budget deficit by $358 billion over the next 3 years. I believe that it is a sign that the Congress is willing to discipline itself to its past fiscal policies. The problem that we've had in Congress is a human problem. And that problem is that it's very difficult to say no. It's far more pleasing to say yes. It's far more difficult to say no. But to say no, we must, in certain instances, bring down the deficit so the interest rates will be coming down, to have the economic recovery that you want to see, that I want to see, that those in this audience want to see. There is no way that we can have recovery and jobs and prosperity in the private sector with the interest rates where they are today. But this discipline must be applied across the board. There should be no sacred cows. It must include non-defense as well as defense spending by the government. It must be fair and it must be equitable. If anyone feels that they're getting shortchanged, it won't work. The budget that was adopted late last night is a continuation of change and a direction that this country is going. I suppose that I could best summarize the argument and the battle in our nation's capital comes right down to the implementation of the 10th Amendment, which says that the federal government will do only what the Constitution provides, with the balance reserved for states and the people. Some refer to this as the policy of returning the power to the people. Others call it new federalism. Critics of this idea have said that that idea of decentralizing government is dead. I don't believe it. I think that is the wave of the future. According to recent polls, Americans more than 2-1 trust their state and local officials to administer the programs over the federal government. Today, there are 1/3 fewer pages in the Federal Register rather than 1 year ago. The people of this country want the government to protect them, but they do not. They do not want them to run their lives. The strength of this nation is not in big government. It's not in big business. It's not in big labor unions. The strength of this nation happens to be in the people. Certainly, there are proper functions for the federal government, enforcing civil rights and civil liberties, preserving natural resources, preserving opportunities for those to receive education, to building an infrastructure so we can have commerce and transportation, and of course, providing for the national security of this nation. But as Thomas Jefferson so eloquently stated time and time again, that the government must be limited in size and scope. The responsibilities must be assumed by the people, by the neighborhoods, by the local communities. If we avoid the responsibility that we are about to assume upon graduation here, the freedom that we all cherish will not be able to continue, because freedom has a great deal of responsibility. And if we abdicate freedom, if we leave it to someone else, then someone else is going to assume it. Erich Fromm, in his book on Nazism and authoritarianism, entitled it "An Escape from Freedom." His thesis was that millions of people were willing to abdicate the responsibility of freedom, and therefore an authoritarian government is likely to emerge. You, by graduating, have accepted responsibility and discipline here today. There's much more ahead. But not only must we retain freedom at home, but as a leader of the world, which this nation is, we must seek the goal of world stability. And world stability and the hopes of peace in future generations will only come about through arms reduction. The present arm race that we find ourselves today is inadvisable and unacceptable. I believe that the president outlining a goal of reduction is proper. We've had SALT I, we've had SALT II, we've had detente, and instead of a lessening and a decrease in the nuclear arsenal, we have seen an increase. The past policies haven't worked, but the future policies on getting a reduction at a verifiable level must, in fact, work. We need to discipline ourselves in the arms race as we anticipate reciprocity by the other side. And as we seek discipline, whether it be the arms race or the budget or assuming responsibility, a very useful guide to institute discipline is that to demand of ourselves truth and reality. I happen to grow up in a newspaper family, and indelibly impressed upon me as I was a child or adolescent and even today was to tell the truth. When people are dishonest, families are broken, individuals are ruined, governments are toppled. Many people today say that this country is going to hell. But as Hobbes said, hell is realizing the truth too late. It won't happen in this country because we have freedom and we will search for the truth and the reality. Though times may seem troubling, I don't look upon it as a time of despair. As a matter of fact, I look upon it as a great time of hope, of opportunity, and challenge. Let's accept it as that. I've got great confidence in the American people. We've risen to the occasion before, and we will rise to the occasion again. And you will be a part of accepting and meeting that responsibility and the challenges that we have ahead of us. I will conclude by not quoting Hobbes or Plato or Socrates or Thoreau or any of the other more well-known philosophers. But I will end by quoting a philosopher of the Quayle family, happens to be my grandmother. And she told me time and time again that you can do anything you want to if you just set your mind to it. And I will tell you today that each of you in this audience can do anything you want to if you just set your mind to it. You have achieved. You have been successful. You will continue to be achievers. I can only tell you that I am proud to have attended DePauw University and to be a graduate. I'm proud to have the opportunity of public service and to try to create a better quality of life for all. I'm proud to be an American citizen that lives in a free country where freedom rings loud and clear. And above all, I'm just proud to be back home and with all of you graduates today at DePauw University, which gave me my beginning, which will give you your beginning, a good beginning. Good luck. Congratulations, and God bless you.